Hare Krishna. Welcome to the fascinating Mahabharata character series. We are now starting with the second character, that is Dronacharya. The first character we discussed was the most magnificent characters in the Mahabharata, that is Bhishma Pitamaha. And the second character is also extraordinary. Dronacharya, his birth name is Drona, and he appears in the Adi Parva, that is the first Parva, where he becomes the teacher of the Pandavas and the Kauravas, and then he has a significant presence throughout all the Parvas till there is one Parva dedicated to him itself, that is the Drona Parva, the seventh Parva, when he is the commander of the Kaurava army for 5 full days. From the 11th day after Bhishma falls on the 10th day, 11th to the 15th days, Drona reigns across the war field, and practically he is breathing fire, and it's very difficult for the Pandavas to even conceive victory as long as Drona is in command. So he's an extraordinary teacher and warrior himself. So let's discuss about his life from the beginning. The name Drona is indicative of his extraordinary birth. Dronacharya, he is not born from an ordinary way. Now, most people, when they are born, they have to go in the mother's womb and suffer in the mother's womb, and then the soul gets a body. But Drona is born from a great sage, and is born also in an extraordinary way. His father was Bharadwaj. Once Bharadwaj, along with several other sages, had gone to the Ganges, and while they were bathing, so Bharadwaj, he was bathing at a little distance from the other sages, and there he saw a celestial damsel, an apsara, Gritachi. And now she was so attractive looking that his reproductive seed emerged. And for a great sage, the reproductive energy is itself very powerful. And he had no desire to give up his renounced order. It was just a slip that happened. But even such a slip, because he had for a long time practiced austerity and conserved his energy, when that seed came out, that seed itself had extraordinary power. So he collected it in a drona and kept it. A drona is a container made of natural elements like leaves and other things. Often food is, small helpings of food are served in drona. And from that drona, soon Dronacharya appeared. So when Dronacharya appeared, in childhood he was known as Drona, and Bharadwaj was a sage. So Drona, actually in his childhood, Gritachi had no interest. And Gritachi in fact did not even come to know immediately such a thing had happened. So he lived in his father's hermitage itself. And there he was from his childhood surrounded by sages. And while he was living among these sages, his father did not directly become his teacher or spiritual master. One of the senior sages in his father's hermitage, who was also a disciple of Bharadwaj, his name was Agnivesh. So Bharadwaj's disciple Agnivesh became the teacher of Drona. And Drona not only became learned in scripture, but also in warfare. He learned warfare so expertly that he eventually went on to become a peerless teacher. Now, the Brahmanas normally do not take up weapons, but they are quintessentially teachers, and they teach not only scripture, they teach other branches of knowledge also. In general, teaching is itself a Brahminical activity. Why? Because one is sharing knowledge, whatever field that knowledge might be. Actually, the sharing of knowledge is considered to be a Brahminical activity. So the Brahmana's knowledge is not only otherworldly, it is also this worldly. Even the demons in the Ramayana, it is described that there Rakshasas are demons who were called Yatudhanas. And they would perform the pilgrimages and the rituals and the other rites necessary which the for the Rakshasas, which they wanted to do even for serving their nefarious ends. So the post of teacher is important in society, and every field in life needs to be taught. Now, Drona became an extraordinary teacher, but while he was there in his father's hermitage, under the tutelage of Agnivesh, Agnivesh was a famous warrior also himself, a warrior teacher. So in that Gurukul, many other people also came, and one of those people was Drupada, who later on went to become the king of the Panchala Desh. So Drupada and Drona became close friends while they were staying together in the Gurukul. And eventually both of them graduated and they went their own separate ways. But while they were there, close to each other, Drupada, in one moment of great affection, told Drona that we are such close friends that whatever is mine, it is yours. You know, whatever is mine, if I get anything in life, I'll give half of it to you. We will share it together. They would share their food, they would share their lives. And at that moment, they felt that we will share everything together. So I'll share the kingdom also. Now, Dronacharya, at that time he was still Drona, he went on and he got married to Kripi. Kripi is the sister of Krupacharya, who we will talk about when Dronacharya reaches Hastinapur. Now, when he got married, he was a Brahmana. In Vedic culture, generally Brahmanas are poor. Brahmanas do not hoard wealth. They are interested in living simply. But sometimes this simple living is not just a choice, it can be a discomforting imposition. Just as we know in Krishnalila, Sudama was a very poverty-stricken Brahmin. So similarly, although Drona was married, he was very poverty-stricken. And he and Kripi, they begot a child, a powerful child, but who was known as Ashwatthama. But in his infancy, he was just a small baby. And at one time, Drona could not provide for him. And the baby was crying desperately. His mother was saying, please, he needs food regularly. So although Drona did not want to ask favors from anyone, still he decided that I need to do something to mitigate my poverty, if not for myself, then for the sake of my family, for my small child. And he remembered the promise of Drupada. And then he went to the kingdom of Drupada, went into the palace. And in the palace, he approached Drupada and reminded him of his words which he had spoken during their friendship. Now the response of Drupada over here seems quite uncharacteristic to the way Drupada is in the rest of the Mahabharata. He's seen as a gallant king who is quite respectful of Brahminical culture. But here, Drupada tells Drona that friendship can only be among equals. Now, when both of us were children, both of us were at the same level. Neither you had anything, any property, nor had I any property. So at that time, we could be friends. But now, I am a king and you are an indigent destitute. How can we be friends? Now it may seem, why would Drupada turn away from friendship like that and speak such biting words? Actually, Drupada spoke something else also. Drupada said, you are a Brahmana, and as a Brahmana, it is my duty to help you. But so I will give you charity, as I give for other Brahmanas also. But do not expect friendship. Friendship can only be among equals. So actually, the beauty of the Mahabharata is that it doesn't depict ideal characters who are so unrealistically perfect that it's impossible to emulate them in our lives. So this was a blemish on the part of Drupada. He did not acknowledge the friendship and he hurt bitterly, terribly the feelings of Drona. Drona, if he had wanted charity, he could have got charity anywhere. Now here we will see that Drona's disposition is not entirely or exactly like a Brahmana. A Brahmana is satisfied with charity, but Drona was very much interested in warfare and he was interested in fighting. So actually, we will see later that he fought in the war during Kurukshetra, and before that also in other wars he would help. So he did not just want to accept charity where he was expecting friendship, and he walked away. He was terribly hurt, and at that moment he decided, I will take revenge against Drupada, who has so publicly mortified and insulted me. And Drona went from Panchala Desh, walking, he came to the Kuru kingdom. And at that time, the Pandavas and Kauravas were young and they were playing in the vicinity of the palace. As they had been playing with a ball, so the 5 Pandavas and the 100 Kauravas, and the ball just went and fell into a well. So generally when children are playing and something like this happens, all the children get upset. Now how can we continue playing? They're worried, they're just looking at the bell and peering inside and thinking what to do. And at that time, Drona came along. And they look at him, regal, majestic. Drona would wear white robes. He had a white beard. He had whitish hair. And his body was decorated with white sandalwood. And he looked majestic. Although he was a Brahmana, but still he had an aristocracy about him, which was captivating. And he asked the boys, what is the matter? They told him that this ball has fallen and we don't know how to get it out. So he said, you are princes. You don't know how to do such a simple thing, get a ball out of this. Well, he said, if you will provide for my meals, then I will get this ball out for you. So Yudhishthira looked at him carefully and he said, oh Brahmana, if you get this ball out for us, what to speak of providing a meal for you, with the permission of Bhishma, we will arrange for your maintenance lifelong. So Drona looked at Yudhishthira. Just from the beginning, there was a natural affection that happened between Drona and the Pandavas. So he knew Yudhishthira was virtuous. And Drona, just to increase the sense of excitement, he took out his own ring. And the ball was already there in the well, and he threw the ring also into the well. And the princess started looking at him, saying, what is this? He thought he will bring something out, he'll put something in further. Then he took a bunch of grasses, bunch of straws, and then he chanted some mantras. By the power of mystical mantras, he endowed those straws with the strength as if they became like spears. And he threw one straw that went and hit right the ball and just penetrated it gently. Then he threw a second straw that went and penetrated the first straw's back, third straw, fourth straw. And like that, he threw straws one by one by one, and they all penetrated into the preceding straws, and it became a rope which extended all the way up to the top. And he just gently pulled out the rope, and the ball came out, and he gave it to the Pandavas and Kauravas. All the princes were amazed. What is this? They never seen anything like this. And then similarly, he chanted some mantras, and he took a straw and a stone, he threw it down, and he threw it in such a way that the impact of that caused the ring to rise. So by the power of his skill in throwing and his skill in chanting mantras, he not only met the challenge that was there, but demonstrated his excellence even further in dealing with another challenge. So when he got both the ring and the ball out, the princes were stunned and they ran back. And just as when children see something wonderful, they go and tell home at their parents, to their parents. So now this was obviously about somebody who had some military skills. So they ran and told this to Bhishma. Bhishma was their primary caretaker. The Pandavas' father Pandu had already departed. And Dhritarashtra, the Kaurava's father, was incapacitated because of being blind. So Bhishma was actively acting as their caretaker and trainer. And they reported to Bhishma. And when Bhishma heard this, at that time he understood, oh, this must be the great Drona. Drona had already become quite famous, because when he had taken training from Agnivesh, at that time itself, Agnivesh had recognized him to be a great warrior and a great teacher of warfare. And thereafter, Drona had also gone to Parshuram. Now, Parshuram had one of his students as Bhishma. We know when Ganga had taken Devrat, who had been a baby, to heavens, she had him trained by various people. So she had him trained by Markandeya, Brihaspati, Shukracharya in warfare. And similarly, she had him trained, they trained him in scripture. And she had him trained in warfare, especially by Parshuram. So now Parshuram had also told him many stories. So, and he knew whatever Parshuram had been doing because he was such a famous person. So when Parshuram decimated the Kshatriyas 21 times, then he decided, now my mission is over. And then he decided after some time to give away everything that he had in charity. So he gave in charity to the Brahmins all his possessions. And when Drona heard that Parshuram is giving charity, he decided to go to Parshuram. But unfortunately, by the time he reached Parshuram, he found that Parashuram had given away everything. So he said, when he approached him for charity, Parashuram said, I cannot refuse the Brahmins. But he said, I have only two things left with me. One is my weapons and the other is my body. Ask, what do you want? So Dronacharya, seeing the extraordinary charitable spirit where he is ready to give up his body also, he said, oh venerable one, I will be honored to have your weapons along with the knowledge of how to use them. So this is how Dronacharya acquired celestial weapons. The weapons which Parashuram had were among the most powerful weapons in the all of creation. Of course, Parashuram himself was powerful and he also had powerful weapons. So Dronacharya got those weapons. So in one sense, Bhishma and Drona are god brothers because they have the same teacher, that is Parashuram. So Bhishma already knew about Drona. He had heard about it. When he heard that Drona has come to the kingdom, he was delighted because he was already looking for somebody to teach the princes. Now he himself was offering some training, but Bhishma also had the administration of the kingdom to take care of, and he already had Kripa. Kripa had been staying in the Kuru kingdom and he had been acting as a martial teacher as well as a minister in some ways. But Kripacharya did not know about celestial weapons. Because he did not know about celestial weapons, he could not train the disciples in that. So Bhishma wanted somebody who had knowledge of celestial weapons and could train the Pandavas and Kauravas in that. So he invited Drona, honored Drona, and he offered him a comfortable house and royal facilities. And he told him, whatever the Kauravas have, that is yours. Please train them and make them into the Maharathas that the Kuru dynasty deserves to have. Dronacharya started training these 105 princes, the 5 Pandavas and 100 Kauravas. And he was such an expert teacher that soon his name and fame spread far and wide. In fact, the city of Hastinapur is more or less equivalent to the city of Delhi. And in the outskirts of Hastinapur, Drona had his own Gurukul. And that became so famous that princes from various parts came there. And they all stayed with him and took training from him. And that's why his place became known as Gurugav. Some people say that what is Gurugav in Delhi is actually the place where Dronacharya had his Gurukul. And there when Dronacharya was training these various students, here we see some extraordinary features of Dronacharya's life. Some people say that Dronacharya was very narrow-minded. Now, when Karna came to him for teaching, he refused to teach Karna. Because the reason he gave was that he would not teach somebody who was not born in the Kshatriya family. So we may say, why isn't this narrow-minded? But if Drona, we are just going to stereotype and label Drona as narrow-minded, then we have to consider the other fact that Drona trained someone who was ordained to become the cause of his death. Now, what had happened was Drupada had actually worked very hard to gain a big kingdom. And when he gained this very powerful kingdom, he did not want to share with Drona or with anyone else. And when he couldn't share it with anyone else, so he decided that that's why he rebuffed and sent off Drona. And Dronacharya trained the Pandavas and the Kauravas expertly. And we will discuss about their training a little later in more detail. But here we are focusing right now on the extraordinary attitude of Dronacharya towards the students, which is often misunderstood and misportrayed. So after the Pandavas and Kauravas had completed their education, then they asked, what dakshina can we give you? And he said that, please defeat Drupada and bring him as a prisoner in front of me. So all the disciples started going, and the Kauravas, they always wanted to prove that we are better. The Pandavas had repeatedly excelled throughout their education, and Duryodhana thought, this is the time when I will prove that how good I am. And he started charging towards Drupada's kingdom. And as he was charging towards Drupada's kingdom, at that time the Pandavas also going. So Arjuna told the Pandavas, his brother, he said, wait, here, let him go first. then let his arrogance be smashed. Then we will do a special service to our spirituality, to our teacher. So Duryodhana went proudly and attacked the kingdom of Drupada. And Drupada had a powerful army, himself was a Maharatha. And with his army, he put up a stiff resistance. And although Duryodhana fought ferociously, he was overwhelmed and he was defeated. And with a sorry face, he had to return mortified back to Dronacharya, unable to provide the Guru Dakshina. And then the Pandavas charged. And Arjuna and Bhima themselves were so powerful. Now, whatever barricades they had been created by the Drupada's forces, they were already prepared because they had got the news why the Kauravas were attacking, and they knew the Pandavas would also come after this. But Bhima just broke through all the barricades, and nobody could stand in front of Bhima and Arjuna, and both of them just charged the army, and Drupada himself put a heroic fight. But Drupada was quickly imprisoned. And he was imprisoned and he was arrested and brought in front of Drona. And when he was brought in front of Drona, Drona told Drupada, he said, "Oh Drupada, remember that we were friends long ago. I would like to renew our friendship. But friendship can only be among equals. Now that you have been defeated, your kingdom has become mine and you have no kingdom. So, how can we be friends?" So, Drupada was humiliated and Drona was having his way back at him. And Drona said that, "Yes, but I want my friendship and so I'll be gracious to you. I will give you half of your kingdom back." And Drupada, he was burning within, but he just couldn't. He knew he was not in a position where he could do anything. So he says, oh Brahman, you are very gracious to me. Thank you for giving me half of my kingdom." And he accepted it. And then, in a very cold and informal way, they sort of befriended each other. But actually, the flames of enmity had grown further. Now, Drupada knew that he had to take revenge against Drona. But at the same time, he felt that by military prowess, it was impossible, because he had already seen the prowess of the Pandavas and he knew Drona had trained them. So Drona's prowess was also formidable. So he decided that if a Kshatriya cannot win by Kshatriya means, then the way to win is by Brahminical means. And Brahminical means he will have to take shelter of some Brahmanas. So he went into the forest and he found there were two Brahmins, Yaja and Upayaja. And the older was Yaja, and he told him, "No, please help me to perform a Yajna by which I will get someone who will be able to kill Dronacharya." So actually the Yaja and Upayaja, actually both of them were not ready. So first he went to Upayaja, and Upayaja said, "I will not do any sacrifice for material gain. But I have seen my brother, at one time he ate some food that was not pure." So he says, he's not very discriminating. So one who is not discriminating in food will also not be discriminating too much in the ways of earning. So he may do the sacrifice for you. And now the younger brother was more powerful, and that's why he had gone to him. But he said that if he tells me to do it, then I will not refuse. So Drupada went and served the Brahmins for a long time, both these brothers, and finally he begged them, "Please do the sacrifice." Agreed. And they agreed, then they performed a magnificent sacrifice. And through that sacrifice, as the sacrifice was getting completed, then suddenly a magnificent warrior appeared. And through the flames, on a chariot, dressed in armor with weapons, a magnificent warrior appeared. And as soon as he appeared, he gave a fearsome roar. And he started moving around, moving his sword, moving his mace, shooting arrows, and exhibiting extraordinary skills. And this was Drishtadyumna. And at that time, Drupada had also prayed that I want a daughter who will become the wife of Arjuna. Now, in one sense, we see that the human mind can work in peculiar ways. Although Arjuna had defeated Drupada, Drupada never felt anger towards Arjuna, because he knew Arjuna was simply an instrument. He was following out the instruction. And at one level, he admired Arjuna for his devotion to his guru as well as for his military skills. And although Drupada was defeated, he admired Arjuna, and he felt that if Arjuna could become my son-in-law, I would be very blessed. And so he desired a daughter also. So into that same sacrifice, strikingly beautiful, dark complexion lady, she emerged. And when she emerged at that time, a voice came that war will be fought, which will cause the destruction of the world Kshatriyas. And these two great persons emerged. Both of them were great in their own ways. And then Drishtadyumna, he was already very powerful as a Kshatriya, as a warrior. But this same Drishtadyumna knew that whatever skills one has, by practice, by training, by guidance, those skills become better. So he wanted a teacher who would improve his skills. And for that purpose, he decided to go to the best teacher at those times. And that best teacher was Dronacharya. Now, Dronacharya knew about Drupada's sacrifice. And he knew that Drishtadyumna was ordained to kill him. But still, what was Dronacharya's attitude? He said, I am a Brahmin and I have to teach. So if a person is qualified to receive knowledge, then it is my duty to give knowledge. So he did not refuse that knowledge to him because he felt that that was his duty as a Brahmin teacher. And he taught Drishtadyumna liberally, giving him training in all the skills of warfare that he taught his other students also. So coming to Karna, why did Drona not give Karna the knowledge? We have to understand two factors over here. The caste system that was there was not necessarily by birth or entirely by birth, but it didn't consider birth entirely unimportant also. So this was a privileged school. It had become a school where the princes from all over the world were coming. And naturally, there has to be some selection criteria over there. Even in today's educational system, if there are top schools, in India we have IITs, or in America there are Ivy League universities. It's not that anybody and everyone can come in over there and join those universities. But there has some qualification criteria. So he had a broad criteria that he would not have anyone as a student who would be not a Kshatriya, not born as a Kshatriya. Why? Because those who are born in Kshatriya wombs, they are quite likely to have Kshatriya qualities. It's not necessary that that will be the only thing which will determine the Kshatriya qualities. But those who are born in Suta lineages, they are more likely to have qualities to become charioteers, not warriors. And we'll discuss more about this refusal when we talk about Karna. But we'll discuss one more thing today about Eklavya. So Eklavya was Nishadha. This Nishadha was a tribe which was an outcast, and this tribe was actually very much a part of the Kaurava's opposition. So this Nishadha tribe was actually a part of those who were disrupting the law and order situation. And they were disrupting the law and order situation and creating trouble for the Kauravas. And later on, these Nishadas, they joined ranks with Jarasandha, who was also a demoniac person, a sworn enemy of Krishna. Krishna had many battles with him. And he was also an enemy of the Kurus, because the Yadus and the Kurus had very friendly relationships because they were related by marriage. Kunti had been married to the Yadus. She was a Sudev sister. She was a part of the Yaduvamsha and she had been married to the Kurus. So because of this alliance, he was also inimical to the Kurus. So he was not born in Kshatriya lineage and he was also inimical to the Kurus, and that's why when he came, Eklavya approached Drona for education. So Drona, he said no. And Drona was also a perceptive teacher. He also observed something more. He saw that although Eklavya had the skills to become a teacher, an archer, but he did not have the expertise in terms of character. He did not have the chivalry that is required for a person to become a good Kshatriya. Kshatriya is one who has power, but Kshatriya also means Kshatrayate iti Kshatriya. One who uses the power to protect others, not to hurt others. And Eklavya was disappointed by the refusal, but he lived near the Gurukul of Dronacharya, and he also made an effigy of Dronacharya, and he would sit in front of that effigy and he would practice. So when Dronacharya would be teaching his students, he would hide behind the trees or on the trees and learn things, and then he would go in front of the effigy of Dronacharya and in front of that practice whatever he had heard over there. And he became a great archer in this way. And nobody came to know about this, his great archery skill. So one day he was practicing archery, and at that time he heard a dog barking. And he just turned around, tack, tack, tack. He shot arrows and sealed up the mouth of the dog. And the dog was just couldn't bark, couldn't do anything, and the dog was piteously moving here and there. So at that time, Arjuna and Dronacharya, they were just walking in the forest. And when they saw this dog with its mouth so piteously bound with arrows, they were amazed as well as alarmed. They were amazed because they say that this is extraordinary skill in terms of archery, to be able to seal the mouth like this without killing the animal. So it was extraordinary in terms of positive skill, but at a negative, you know, a dog, an animal like that should not be harmed like this in such a way in which it is just rendered helpless like this. So they went deeper inside, and then they saw Eklavya practicing archery, and they saw Eklavya practicing archery. They talked, and Eklavya said that my guru is Drona. So when the news reached Dronacharya, and Dronacharya came and he looked at Eklavya. As soon as he saw Eklavya, he recognized. He said, "You are my student." He said, "Yes." So Dronacharya was thinking very seriously at this time. He had seen the skill of Eklavya. Now some people say that Drona had promised Arjuna that you will be the greatest archer in the world, and Eklavya had already become a greater archer than Arjuna, and that's why he did something like this. But that is only a partial reason. That is an incomplete understanding. Actually, yes, Arjuna had been promised by Dronacharya that he would become the greatest archer. But that was based on Arjuna's skill, Arjuna's dedication, and Arjuna's expertise. Whereas Eklavya was an entirely different case. So Eklavya had that inclination to abuse the Kshatriya skills and power he had for nefarious purposes. So he said, so Dronacharya thought about all this, and he says, "If I am your teacher, if I am your guru, then you must give me Guru Dakshina." He said, "Yes, whatever you want, I will give you." So then Dronacharya became very grave, and he said, "Give me your right thumb." So Eklavya, without hesitation, cut off his thumb and gave. And at one level it is said that Eklavya was unjustly deprived of the glory that could have come to him as an archer. But that's not the truth. Dronacharya was thinking about Eklavya's good and the world's good. Eklavya had belonged to a group of people who were having antisocial tendencies. He was in alliance with the king who was anti-spiritual. And if he had skills, he would have himself harmed people, and he would have harmed himself because he would have done bad karma by which he would have to suffer the karmic reactions. So when his finger was cut off, by this Eklavya himself was saved from bad karma and its reactions. So Drona actually protected Eklavya from doing the wrong things, and he protected his word to Arjuna also secondarily. Now somebody may say, "Oh, wasn't Eklavya a very great devoted student that he gave up his own thumb for the sake of a guru who had actually not even taught him?" Yes, we may say that that is a sign of Guru Bhakti. Yes, it is. But actually we can't think of Guru Bhakti only in one terms. If he had selective obedience is deceptive obedience. Selective obedience means I just choose, I'll do this, I won't do this. That can be deceptive. So if Eklavya had been truly such a devoted disciple, then when first time only his guru had told him, "Don't learn archery, you are not qualified, I will not teach you." So at that time he should have accepted that and he should have found some other vocation. But he did not do that. And the result of that was Dronacharya had to curb him in some other ways. Now Dronacharya could very easily have washed off responsibility, and he could have, if he wanted, taken credit. Oh, I have another student who is also a great student. He didn't want credit for what Eklavya had done. He wanted the good of the world, and that's why he asked Eklavya for his thumb. And we will see more about Dronacharya's expert training of the Pandavas and the Kauravas also, which reveals his character as a teacher. So was Drona narrow-minded in rejecting Eklavya or depriving of his thumb? If we think like that, then we have to also consider how he was so broad-minded that he was ready to train someone who would take away his own life. So we can't impose our values on the people of another age and just judge from that way. We have to think from a broader perspective. And the characters in the Mahabharata are not just black and white. There are various shades in it, and that's what makes them so interesting, and that's why learning about them is so instructive. So we'll continue in our next discussion. Hare Krishna.